Our reading from God's holy word today, we are in the last chapter of the book of Job. We've kind of gotten the book of Job in four installments, only we didn't really get very much of it. But we remember that last week the Lord had come to Job and was questioning about what it was that Job thought he was entitled to. And so Job finally gets to reply. Job replied to the Lord, "I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, 'Who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge?' Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, 'Listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me.' My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with Job in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought upon him, and each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The first daughter he named Jemima, the second daughter Keziah, and the third daughter Keren-Happuch. Nowhere in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. And after this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. And so he died, old and full of years. We continue reading our epistle lesson from the letter to the Hebrews. We're in the 7th chapter. We begin at verse 23. "Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, Jesus is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. Jesus sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made forever perfect." And our gospel lesson today comes from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. We did like all of chapter 9 and now chapter 10. We're marching through Mark. We only have a few more Sundays of Mark left, noting that the lectionary year starts the first Sunday of Advent, the first Sunday in December, and our gospel for that year will be Luke. But hear the story from the Gospel of Mark. "Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Many rebuked him, told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him here.' So they called to the blind man, 'Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you.' Throwing his cloak aside, Bartimaeus jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked him. The blind man said, 'Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately Bartimaeus received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Here ends our hearing of God's holy word. Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask that you bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, that it might be acceptable to you. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's kind of fun to think about what's going on between last week's scripture lesson and this week's scripture lesson. Maybe it's not fun, maybe it's enlightening, maybe it's insightful, or maybe you all have heard this so many times, this is your nap time or your grocery list making time, I'm not sure. But for me, the two stand at opposite ends of the same spectrum, because the question that Jesus asks both in last week's lesson and this week's lesson is the same. What do you want me to do for you? Remember last week, John and James came up to him and said, we want you to do something for us. And he says, what do you want me to do for you? And they wanted him to guarantee that they got seats, one at his right and one at his left when he came into his glory. They wanted religious power. They wanted their righteousness recognized. They wanted to be above their peers. They wanted authority. They wanted recognition for what they had done. This week, the very next story tells us that though Jesus asked the same question, it's not in the same context. Most of the people we hear who receive healing in the Gospels do not have a name attached to them. They are a woman, they are a man, they are 10 lepers, they are a blind person, they are a lame person, right? But this one, we know his name, Bartimaeus. And it's because he followed Jesus afterwards and he became known to the writers of the Gospels, to the people who also followed Jesus. They got to know him personally. Now, the exact text says, I want to see again. So Bartimaeus is a man who had sight, and then he lost his sight. And those of us who have had cataracts or any other sight issues like macular degeneration or have a loved one with those issues know how horrible it is to have sight and then slowly, slowly, slowly lose our sight. We become aware that it's near impossible on our own without help to even survive without vision. We won't know where we're going. We won't know how to feed ourselves. We won't be able to stay safe if we cannot see without help. We go from having independence and autonomy to being dependent. We go from seeing and being part of community to being isolated and excluded. We go from having a sense of power, worth, and value to sitting by the side of the road trying to hear if people come past and begging them for something, anything, leftovers, money, help. Bartimaeus wasn't asking for righteous proof of position. Bartimaeus was asking to see again. But there's two miracles, if you will, in this story. The first one is when Bartimaeus is crying out, sitting by the side of the road begging, and he heard Jesus was coming, and he shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. All those people, the disciples, the followers, the people who started five villages back when they got free dinner, the people who knew loved ones who were healed and started following Jesus, the people who thought, this is the guy, this is the movement, we're going to take over, we'll follow him. They all had worked their way into that inner circle of inclusion, right? But here's somebody who wasn't in that inner circle of inclusion, and they were excluding him. "I'm in, you're not, you just stay out. I get him, you don't. If you can't be like us and see and stand up and walk and follow, you don't get to come. You're not allowed." Don't we do that? Don't we judge who's in and out in many things throughout our life? We even do it culturally in large groups. At the beginning of this week, when I started reflecting for the sermon, I was greatly moved by the fact that the ashes of Matthew Shepard were interred in the National Cathedral. 20 years since he was so brutally murdered, for the simple fact that he wasn't in. He was excluded. He was a young gay man, and people couldn't accept that. And they left him on that barbed wire fence in Wyoming as if he was crucified. He's home. He's in the religious house of God for our nation. No longer excluded. But I haven't quit crying since yesterday morning, because some beautiful people also lost their lives. When someone who disliked their religion walked into their house of God and started killing them, for the simple fact that they were Jews. I know what it's like to come into the church as a pastor. And oftentimes the first people there are the ones who've been there their whole lives. And as we listen to the names this morning, Rose, 97 years old, hasn't missed a Sabbath. Comes early, wants to sit right where she always sits. The two brothers, the Rosenthals, always come together since they were little boys, come to worship. Now they're in their 80s. Someone had the audacity to say, "I'm in, and you're not, And because I determine a difference between us, I hate you. And you deserve to die. And the terror we've all had with bombs in the mail all week, attempting to assassinate former presidents and vice presidents. And I'm not sure, because I'm not in the FBI, but I just wonder how the non-government people who received bombs were targeted, because all three of them are wealthy Jewish philanthropists. The first miracle in this story is that Jesus says to his disciples and the followers, call him here. I hear him. Where is he? Call him here. Go find him and bring him in. The first miracle is that Jesus took the attention of the disciples and the followers of him away from themselves and away from him and drew them outward. Who's out there? Who's excluded? Who's crying out in pain and need? Bring them here. Get them to me. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asks us that also. What do we want Jesus to do for us? Do we want him to guarantee our place in glory? Give us gold stars for the fact that we're good or better or part of the inner circle? Or do we want him to give us the direction we need when we forget to pay attention to those who are outside the circle? That we might have direction, that we might know our purpose. Or do we want him to lift us up out of our darkness, out of our despair, out of the places where our pain has separated us from others? I imagine that in our lifetime, we might pick one of each of them as our journeys change. And I'd like to note that nowhere in these stories does Jesus condemn any of them. He doesn't condemn James or John. He just teaches them that the way they've chosen is going to be hard. He doesn't condemn the disciples or the followers who were trying to minimize and quiet Bartimaeus. He doesn't lecture them at what they missed. He just says, bring him here. And he doesn't put strings on the healing that he gave to Bartimaeus. He just says, go. Your faith has healed you. And Bartimaeus receives his sight. And the church receives its purpose. And the individual disciples know that following Christ means the way will be difficult and hard. But all know that they do not do it alone, for they go with Christ. Let us too receive our sight and follow Jesus. Amen.